Hi, I'm Tim Hall. Thanks for tuning in today to this message. I'm preaching a message that I think is very timely. I'm preaching on having your spiritual eyes open in a confused, chaotic world. And I know it's going to be a blessing to you.
Venezuela was incredible. It was a great introduction, but it's opened up next year. We've got the Minister of Finance wanting to pay for stadiums. We've got the top guy. It's a bunch of things that I can't tell you about, but we got some interesting stuff. And it was fantastic. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And it was great. But I've got to get through that quickly because now we're in action. You all ready? Fasten your seatbelts. If you've got a crash helmet, put it on. Knee braces, whatever. Father, would you anoint the word this morning? Let it be with power. I pray, Father, for something to happen today in Jesus' name. Give you praise and I give you thanks now. Come, Holy Spirit. We just want to glorify Jesus here today in your mighty name. Everybody said,
amen.
And shouted.
Amen.
I'd like you to turn, please, to the book of 2 Kings. It's very easy to find. It's straight after 1 Kings. Someone said, oh, thanks for that. I never could have found that. That was a joke. It went down. By the way, welcome Cape Town and welcome NEC. How are you over there, guys? God bless you. I hope you had a great Christmas. Cape Town, I tell you, one of the greatest places on the planet is Cape Town. And it's great to talk to you. Chapter 6, incredible story. Let's go here to verse 8. Scripture says this, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not go through that place, for thither, which is an incredible word, the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there not once, nor even twice, but obviously saved him a lot of times with a word of knowledge. And the king of Syria said, what's going on? This is the Tim Hall translation. King of Syria was sore, he was angry, he was mad, said to his servants, who's the traitor? Who's the traitor here? They said, there isn't one, but there's a prophet up the road. He's a man of God, and he knows what you say in your war room, but he doesn't just know that. He knows even the words you speak in your bedroom. And the Syrian king said, it's time to snuff out the voice of God. It's time for the voice of God to be snuffed out. I tell you, on planet Earth right now, there's an incredible push in so many areas to snuff out the voice of God. But I've learned something over the years, the word of God can't be snuffed out. I've learned something over the years that God is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've actually read the end of the book and we do not lose. And the king's coming. Let's move on here. And so he said, okay, go and get this guy and bring him back. Who does he think he is? To get these revelations, go and get him. And he sent a big army. And this great army came and they gathered around to get him. And he was relaxed. He was sitting back in his shorts watching a test match between... he was watching a test match. It wasn't really. There's no cricket then. Cricket did not exist. It's an English game. And the servant of the Lord, verse 15, he rose up early. And when he'd gone forth... he looked out and here's this massive army. Everything's coming. A disaster is coming. A huge disaster is imminent. How can they get away from all this that is coming? And the Bible says that he cried out to the prophet and he said, alas. And the word alas in the Hebrew is a cry of pain or despair. He was in total despair and he says, how or what shall we do? What shall we do? We look at, we're entering 2016. And as we enter 2016, the world's never been like it is right now. Don't put it down to where we're at. The world is in an incredible time. Timothy said, in 2 Timothy, he said, perilous times will come. Men will be wicked. They'll be without mercy. They'll be haters of parents. All the stuff is happening right now. The word for perilous times is grievous times. The word is chelopos, which means dangerous, furious, unrestrained, violent times. It's the same word that was used to describe the demoniacs, the two demoniacs that came to Jesus, exceeding fierce. And that's what that word means, chalipos, exceeding fierce. And the word says, exceeding fierce times will come. We look at the world right now and the hostility that's being seen, the whole push of ISIS and the desire to sweep the world. Don't let anyone get it wrong. There's a push. There is a jihad on the planet, and the aim is ultimately to see this world and the radical Islam. The aim is that the whole world will come under one caliph, that it'll be an Islamic world, and there's a war on. One side is fighting with steel. The other side are so politically correct, they're not even knowing how to be involved. It's a serious situation, and it's gathering like a snowball down a hill. So where's it all going to go? We look at America's debt right now, $19 trillion. If you were to work out how much $19 trillion is, let's work it out in seconds. Say every dollar is 1 second. And we look back, $1 million would take us back 12 years. $1 billion would take us back 31 years. $1 trillion would take us back to 30,000 BC. But multiply that 9 times, and you've got a pile of $1 bills that go to the planet Uranus. The debt, the world economically, hanging on a precipice. It's hanging on a precipice. We've got lunatics running around, shooting and blowing stuff up left, right, and center. And someone says, do you worry about terrorists when you fly? I said, I go some airlines that the terrorists are too scared to get on. We've got a hostility to Israel right now, and watch it very carefully. A hostility to Israel, where right now America is pulling away more and more from Israel. Israel is really beginning to stand more and more alone, and exactly as the Bible says, and you've got a seething hostility all around it with one aim, and that is to drive them out. The world is in a rugged time, and an awful lot of people, including Christians, look at the world right now and they say, alas, alas, what do we do? What's happening? I think this is a prophetic piece of scripture here for all to read. And let's have a look at it here, because if we look in the natural, there is a gathering of forces with an aim to snuff out the voice of God and silence the voice of God. The young man looked at the prophet, and the prophet was incredibly relaxed. He was panicking, and there are Christians panicking and digging bomb shelters and filling them with baked beans. I wouldn't like to be in a bomb shelter with a whole lot of people eating baked beans. I wouldn't want that. It'd be better to face the tribulation. And people are buying up stuff for the days ahead and getting all paranoid. What a pack of idiots. It's like Y2K, people filling their bathtub. I rang New Zealand, said, you guys okay? Yeah, no, I don't need to fill the bath, that's fine. When in doubt, ring Samoa. And say, is everything all right? Because they find out first. They got Christmas before everybody else. Is it Samoa? Samoa's first, isn't it? Where's Tom? Tom. Tommy, first, is it? Where's Tommy? Where's my mate Tommy Frost? That's right, isn't it, Tom? Merry Christmas. So here's the world in a mess. The servant is looking. How many people here are servants of God? And we can either go, alas, what is coming? Or we can listen, and the prophet here, the great prophet, the great eternal prophet like unto Moses speaks, and he spoke to him here, and he said this, if I can find it. And he said, don't be afraid. First thing this year, fear nothing. Fear nothing. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We're the answer in a sick planet. He says, fear not, for those that are with us are more than them that are with them. Those with us are more than what they have. And he said, Lord, open his eyes, please. And the guy's panicking, sweat's running down his brow. He's nervous, he's trembling, and he looks up. And God just opens up the spirit realm, and he sees that all around them are chariots of fire and fiery angels and power and strength and authority. And he must have gone, wowzers. And the scripture says this, the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. I think that God is saying to us right now, in perilous, tough times, difficult times, I think we are the restraining force on the planet. And I do believe that at the end of the age, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth as a witness, then shall the end come. And I take that scripture, this gospel, this good news of the kingdom with power, demonstration and signs shall be preached in all the earth as a witness, then the end shall come. But I think that God is saying to us as servants, Father, open their eyes. Father, open their eyes. First thing he wants to show us is that God's in control, not the devil. We're approaching a great day in history. It's called the great day of the Lord, not the great day of Satan. It's the great day of Jesus, not the great day of the Antichrist, the great day of the King. There's a day coming. It's the King's day. And we need to understand that though it may seem weird, the King is on the throne. And there's no one can put him off his throne. He is enthroned. He is the majestic King who is responsible for you. Your times are in his hands. His hand is on you. His angels are about you. He wants us to see that right now God is in control. What's he doing? Hooks are in the jaws of the nations. God has nearly had enough. And he's saying, okay, okay. And the nations are being hooked and drawn into something. What are they being drawn into? They have an appointment with Jesus. Not the baby in the manger. Not the little baby in swaddling clothes. But he who sits on a white horse, whose eyes blaze like the sun in its strength, whose hair is white like wool. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he might smite the nations. He's called the word of God, and in righteousness he wages war. He's the one who is described as the stone not cut with human hands that is going to come, and the empires of the earth will be powdered to nothing, and the great men and the mighty men in days ahead are going to cry out to him and say, hide us from him who sits upon the throne and from the Lamb. We are privileged to be living in the most invigorating time of world history. Is there upheaval? Yes. Are there multitudes in the valley of decision? Yes. Is there trouble raging everywhere? Yes. Is it the greatest opportunity for evangelism that has ever been placed before anybody? The multitudes of the world are in chaos, confused, wondering, is there an answer to this madness? And the good news is, God wants to open our eyes and say, hey, we're surrounded by the angelic force of heaven. We are loaded with the power of God, and there is a great commission to make an impact on a hurting, broken, devastated world. He wants our eyes open. Open to know the times. David's mighty men understood the times. They had an understanding. Their eyes were open to understand what was happening. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I think it's about verse 32, somewhere there. It says, they had an understanding of the times. These were the mighty men from the tribe of Issachar who had come to join David. They had an Issachar means burden bearers, those that carry the burden. The ones that carry the burden are the prayer warriors. And the people that get into serious prayer and press into God are going to have their eyes open to God, and they're going to begin to see what they're supposed to do. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We need an understanding of the times because they're bleak times. Does that mean it's all going to wind up in 10 minutes? No. I was expecting Jesus back in 1982. Then, no, I wasn't really, but they were talking about the planetary lineup and then something else, and there are all these, everyone prophesying, and then there was the European Common Market, the 10 nations of the European Economic. Now there's 28 of them. So that's not 10. So, and then great belief that Henry Kissinger was going to be the Antichrist. Somebody else believed that Norman Gunston was. It's just one of those things. But we need our eyes open to know how we should live. What we should do for our families, our ministry. What does God want us to do? He wants to give us dreams bigger than we've ever had. You say the times are bad. That's when you get dreams. The greatest revelations in the Old Testament seem to come to Daniel and Ezekiel in the midst of the Babylonian Empire. Wow. The tougher it gets, the greater the revelation. The greater the darkness, the more we shine. Where sin abounds, grace and power and demonstration far more. We are stepping into the time when God is going to bare his right arm. We are privileged to be born into the time of the latter rain that was seven times heavier than the former. I dare to believe we're going to see an outpouring on this planet. Chaos is raging. But God is getting ready to do stuff we haven't even dreamed. We can get negative and say, alas, there's no place for that. I'm excited. I'll be honest with you, I'm excited. Could we get martyred? Possibly, yeah, maybe. As long as it's quick. Put a little target there, say, shoot straight, please. I don't know. What's going to happen? I do know that as a Christian, there's never been an opportunity like we have right now. This church is strategically raised up at a time such as this for a purpose that is beyond our understanding. Why would you want to live in the Middle Ages when nothing was happening? Where the most exciting thing was to be in a monastery copying the Bible. Let that sink in just for a moment. Multitudes are waiting. We need to know the times and what we ought to do. How should we live? Is it time to study the Word? Is it time to go to Bible college? That's for someone. Is it time to start to press into the Word every day, 4 or 5 hours in the morning? Is it time to drop our television viewing back and start to lift our Word reading? Is it time to accelerate our prayer life like never before? Is it time to get into touch with God so that we know the times for our family, our home, and what we're supposed to do in this hour? It's a time of privilege. Number three, David prayed this. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Psalm 63 verse 1, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts, my flesh pines, to see your power and your glory as I've seen it in the tabernacle. I don't know about you, but, and I often quote Ephesians where Paul said, I pray the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you might know the unlimited magnitude of power. I work that into every sermon because I want to see the unlimited magnitude of power. I want to see a manifestation of power like I've never dreamed. Is there anyone here that wants to in their lifetime see a move of power that is beyond description? A move, a manifestation of God like we never dreamed. He said, I want to see your glory and your power. I've seen it in the tabernacle. I want to see it again. I want to see it again. I want to see it here in this place. How many want to see a manifestation of the power of God so great here that people, the wind of God goes through and sweeps everybody off their seat and people lie on the floor having visions of God and being taken into it and people coming from all over the world just like they went to Azusa Street to say, what's happening here? Manifestation of power so strong that people walking past on the street out there fall out under the power of God. I remember praying for a lady, David Jones in Adelaide. She went out under the power. We had the paramedics over there. they're going to take her off to hospital. I said, well, it's actually the power of God. And they had their bag out and everything, and we just quietly left. Had the same thing in McDonald's. We're in the McDonald's with Rick Shelton. And this lady came over and she said to him, you're the guy on that video that said, I was skeptical. And he says, I was skeptical. Down she went under the power and a couple of others went down. And there were people walking along with their trays of Big Mac and stuff. I never go in those places, not allowed, but stepping over people. And we got put out. We got put out of McDonald's because of God. God's behavior had us ejected. I said to him, Lord, you just can't, that's just, didn't say anything. We got out there and two or three people fell out of from Bendigo. I think it was some of them trying to get in, and he said, I'm skeptical again, and two or three of them were just on the floor in the car park. We just got out of there. We just left. I want to see his power manifest here. Matter of fact, I'm going to finish preaching in a moment and see. In fact, I'm going to finish in just a couple of minutes, give myself a bit of extra time, because it wouldn't be a bad way to finish the year just with a few people getting a good blast of power this morning. I mean, there may be a couple of people today would just like to... There may be some hunger. There could be. So, but I don't see the power in the house here like never before in our awakenings. So powerful that whole nations get lit up. It's happening. It's happening. The world's going mad, but we're lighting up. We're lighting up. Bible says that in the last days, in the darkness of the last days, the righteous will shine like the stars in the firmament. This is our time. Are we worried? No. Are our eyes open? Yes. Are we surrounded by angels? There's packs of them here today. Gabriel, great to see you. No, it's been a good Christmas. Yourself? Good. No, that's good. Just Gabriel having a chat with me. Sorry. Not really. You might say that's blasphemous, pretending. He could be. Moving on. We want the power of God in our urban lives. Have them come in there, sit down, power of God, sweep through the place. People that aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost jumping up onto your piano, playing like a concert pianist. People coming across the road, outside your property, saying, what's happening in here? You wave your hand, all your neighbors are under the power. Whole street goes out, you go up and lead them all to Christ. It's not beat around the bush, it's time for some action. The devil's going mad, we're going madder. He says, I'm going for it. You go, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's the church. Let the church be the church. Let the body of Christ, let planet shakers be planet shakers. Let's get fired up. Let's get stirred up. I'm nearly through here. This is great. I'll have a couple of spare minutes. And lastly, I want my spiritual eyes open to see the multitudes like never, ever before. On a frightened, confused planet, which is really should be certified as insane by now, there are uncountable multitudes of people earnestly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for someone to come and say, hey, have you got an answer for me? They're waiting for someone to come and say, can you tell me what's happening? I'm studying Book of Revelation and Daniel and getting myself absolutely geared so I got an answer for every person. That's what's going on right now. What's going to take place with this? What's happening with that? What's going to happen with ISIS? What's the aim? Where's this going? Where's that going? I've got to have an answer because people want answers right now. And I've got to have the answers in here. So do you. We have to have the answers to the questions they're going to ask, because they're asking a lot of questions out there right now. No matter where you turn, people are troubled right now and they're waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. I want my eyes open on this confused planet to see souls like never before. I remember Reinhard Bonnke, God said to him, I'm taking the sickle away from you and I'm going to give you a combine harvester. I want to hand in my sickle. I want to hand in my sickle. Preaching the biggest stadiums on the planet. Want to handle in a hand. man's sickle that we get 1,000 saved and start to see whole nations. I want to see souls with his heart, not mine. Maybe at this point, I wonder how many people there are that maybe you're asking those questions. What's going to happen on this planet? Where's it going? Where should I be? Are there safe places on the planet? Because so many countries now, in Paris, they're bombing and shooting and people running wild and threats and all this stuff. Where do I go? There's only one safe place on the planet right now, and that's in a living relationship with Jesus. And I tell you, when you're in a living relationship with him, you put your head on the pillow at night and you don't even think about anything that's going on in the world. You just know that you're in his arms, that he's your Lord. And not only does he come to give you a certainty, take fear out of your life, he takes the power of sin, takes the power of addiction, he takes negativity out, and he fills you with supernatural power that is not your own. And he changes you on the inside so you're never the same again. We're in this first meeting Sunday, 27th of December, 2015. We're coming into a year that is full of all sorts of things that could happen, may not happen, who knows, whatever. But I do know one thing, that there's an unchanging God. He's a pillar. People build their houses and build their lives on shifting sand. Nations shift, empires shift, but when you come to Jesus, you're built on the rock. He's the rock of offense to many, but he's the King of glory to those that know him. He's the one that loved you so much, he died on that Roman cross that you might be saved. He's the one whose passion for you is beyond your own understanding. He's the one who wants to come into your life, wash you clean of sin, change you on the inside and make you a brand new person. And he's the one who wants to take your hand so that no matter what happens, no matter where things go, he says, take my hand and I'll take you into an adventure that's beyond your wildest dreams. You say, Tim, are you thinking negative things for 2016? I'm thinking more souls than we've ever seen saved in our life. Are you thinking about terrorists? No, I want to be one of God's Holy Ghost stormtroopers. I want to be a Holy Ghost Rambo. What about you? Put on the old headband and Adrian. So full of the Holy Ghost, just into the nations of the earth. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. You don't know Jesus, he'll give you a plan. He'll give you a huge plan for your life. He'll show you the things he wants to do with you. He's here to meet you right now. He's here to meet you in this meeting. He's here to put his hand on you. I feel the power of God in this place.